Boker Tov, it's great to see you. Thank you for coming. I'm sorry I wasn't able to be here last week. I actually have been making quite a lot of trips to London. So I was in London 3 weeks ago, and I was in London for Shavuos. I'm going to be in London next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, as well. So there's been a lot of shuttling back and forth, all for good reasons, Baruch Hashem, which we'll get onto in a second. First, I'd like to ask people to please turn off their phones. Yes, Be'ezrat Hashem, I shall be here next week. And I'm not planning to miss any Wednesdays until later in June, which I'll let you know in advance. I'd also like to thank our sponsors. The Shirim for 2023 are sponsored Le'ilu Nishmas Brana Bas Brandit, Aleha Sholem, and Zelig Ben Kalman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and we're very grateful for that sponsorship. Now, in Yana D'Yoma, I wanted to talk about a topic that we touched on 6 or 7 years ago, but is very much back in the news, and I've revamped and brought you some new sources as well. You can guess what that topic is from the very picture on the top of the sheet, which is King Charles III greeting faith leaders from Britain, of which you'll see Rabbi Brian Mervis, the chief rabbi, is standing there.
What's his name again?
Rabbi Ephraim Mervis. Rabbi Mervis is the chief rabbi. He's been the chief rabbi now for about 10 years. And as is well known, British chief rabbis for at least the last 100 years have been going to church services when the king commands them, or the queen commands them to do so. In fact, the last 3 or 4 coronations were not actually on Shabbos. The last coronation on Shabbos was the coronation of King Edward VII, Queen Victoria's son. Who was crowned in 1904, I believe. Three? Four? Something like that. Victoria died in 1903, so I think it was 1904. Yeah. They were there? Yeah. I'm not sure anyone here was there. What's that?
She died in 1901.
Maybe she died in 1901. I can't remember exactly. So maybe it was 1902. You remember that? Okay, good. Anyway, King Edward VII also commanded the then chief rabbi, Rabbi Herman Adler, to come to the service, and he did. And since then, rabbis, including all the chief rabbis, Roger Kobovitz and others, have been going to funerals, coronations, weddings in the chapel. I don't know if any of you were listening to Behind the Bima this week with Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg. His guest this week was the chief rabbi, and they discussed this issue. Now, they very politely didn't press him on the issue and say, well, how could it be permitted, even if you're the chief rabbi, to go to a church? Rabbi Mervis simply said, well, the king commanded me to go, so I had to go, which is, we'll see how that works. Of course, as is very well known, the chief rabbi would not speak through a microphone, and King Charles allowed him to not speak through a microphone. The question, of course, is, well, if King Charles commanded him to speak through the microphone, then why couldn't he have done that as well? If you can go to a church, can you speak through a microphone? Is it the same thing? Is it not the same thing? We're going to examine these issues. But today we have to lay foundations. What exactly are the questions that arise when going into a church or a mosque? I had a question once from a businesswoman who was going to a conference in the Far East, and they were putting everybody up in a Buddhist monastery. They weren't going to a service there, but that's where the hotel was. It was part of a Buddhist monastery. Is that a question, yes or no? Somebody told me a couple of days ago that that was a different thing, actually. Forget that. But I brought a couple of different examples here. What about going in for interfaith purposes? What about going in for a concert or an exhibition? Obviously, that's less important than the king commands. What about to study? Studying architecture, studying music, playing music. What about to vote? Sometimes voting polling stations are placed in church halls. Yes, John?
As a tour guide.
As a tour guide. Oh, good. That's an excellent one. What about as a tour guide? And you're doing it for Paranossa. You have people want to see the churches, etc. So let's have a look at some of the sources. Next week, we'll get into the nitty-gritty of the controversial modern cases. There was a very heated exchange of letters in 2009 within the RCA, the Rabbinical Council of America, when Rabbi Haskell Luchstein went to the inauguration of President Obama, part of which was a Christian service, Or was it? We'll see. We'll see. And he got a lot of flack for that. And there was a lot of exchange of letters then. Seemingly, Westminster Abbey is much more of a church than I think that Obama was in. But we'll see how that works when we get there. But let's just lay down some of the sources. I brought you at the beginning a Midrashic source, which is not really the source we've been looking at. But I imagine you'll be familiar with it, so I wanted to raise it. The famous question when Paro says to Moshe in the plague of hail, he says, please daven to take this terrible plague away. And Moshe says to him, what does he say? Ketzeti et ha'ir. Only when I leave the town, I can't daven here. Why not? Rashi number 2, min ha'ir, he has to go out from the town, aval betoch ha'ir, within the Egyptian town, lo hitpalel, lefi shehaitat meliah gilulim. It was full of idols. Galal is actually a word for cow dung. It's a word which is given by Chazal for Avodah Zorah as an expression of the fact that it's no more important than that. And I brought you a Trumas HaDeshen that actually brings this posuk from Moshe Rabbeinu when he was asked to Shaila, if it's getting close to Mincha time, if the sun is setting rather, it's getting to the end of Mincha time, and you're on the road, you can just about make it to the hotel for Mincha to daven in the hotel, or you can daven by the side of the road, which comes with dangers. Number one, maybe you'll be distracted. Number one, maybe you'll be attacked, God forbid, especially in those days. Is it better to daven in the hotel with a safer environment, or is it better to daven by the side of the road? And the Trumas HaDeshen says, it's better to daven by the side of the road. Because you'll be davening in a place, probably, with crucifixes everywhere. The Trumas HaDeshen lived in Christian Europe. And you cannot daven in a place that has crucifixes and other Avodah Zorahs in the room. Now, he takes it for granted that Christianity is Avodah Zorah. Which we'll see in a minute how that works. Yes?
Yeah, I'm a child survivor of the Holocaust. And I was in Swiss... children's home.
Right.
And I was learning in a Protestant school.
Okay.
And the teacher, it was Christmas, so they went to practice their songs in the church. So we were about 5 kids from the children's home, the Jewish children's home, and we told the teacher we're not allowed to go into the center.
Okay, that was very brave.
And he said, fine.
So we'll talk about Protestantism. We'll get there because the Rambam we'll see soon is talking about Catholicism. But as we talked about before, Midrashic sources are not really the best halachic sources because Midrashim are not designed to be applied halachically. Even though the Trumas HaDeshen uses one, and every now and then you find an Agadic source which is used, and we dedicated 2 whole shirim to that topic, if you remember, a couple of years ago. They're on the OU site. They're also on my website. But let's get into some more halachic questions. If you turn over to page 2, questions such as getting benefit from Avodah Zarah, having contact with Avodah Zarah, and Maris Ha'ayin, which we'll see as well in a little bit. So let's get into this Mishnah. Let's start with a fundamental Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, right at the very beginning of Avodah Zarah. Number 4. Ir Sheyesh Ba Avodah Zarah. If there's a town that has a pagan temple in it. Now this is pre-Christian. You know, this is Roman pagan temple. Chutzala mutar. If you're going to be outside the town, that's fine, because the pagan temple's in the town. Haya chutzala, if the pagan temple's on the outside of the town, tocha mutar, then you could be in the town. You just can't be anywhere near the temple. Mahu leilech l'sham. What about taking a road that goes through there? If that road only goes to the temple, asur, you're not going to the temple, but you're just taking a cut through that only goes to the temple, and therefore people are going to assume you're doing something wrong. This is really, the question is here, if not really marat ayin, but chashad. Let me just reiterate the difference between the two. People often make the mistake. Marat ayin is where you're doing something permitted. Other people assume it's something different, which is actually prohibited, but say, since you're such a frum person, it must be okay. Maris Ha'ayin is when you're using paraf creamer after a meat meal, and people say, oh, I didn't know you were allowed to drink milk after a meat meal, but, you know, Cohen is very religious, he wouldn't do it if it wasn't allowed, so it must be allowed. And therefore, in the early days of paraf creamer, you had to have, you know, the packet there, or the margarine, butter, whatever. Chashad is the opposite. Chashad is where they see someone doing something and say, ah, you see, they're up to no good. They're not as frum as they make out. It's the opposite, in fact. And here, really, the concern is chashad. They see you walking towards a pagan temple. Really, you're just taking a cut through to work. When I was used to work in the city of London, many of my colleagues used to sit in St. Paul's churchyard to eat their lunch. It's a very beautiful churchyard there with benches and flowers. The question is, are you allowed to sit in St. Paul's churchyard to eat your lunch? Even, it wasn't inside the church, it was outside. Even though you're eating your lunch, are people going to say, oh, look, he's going to St. Paul's? He wears a kippah, but he goes to Vespers in the evening or whatever. So let's have a look at the end of this. But if the path leads somewhere else, mutar. Fine, then you can do it. So let's start with a very... yes?
Your English
family
on number 4...
Yes, I agree. Correct. Actually, that's... That goes back to the first Mishnah, which talks about the festival days. It's a little misleading, I agree, to correct it. But you'll see how that works out in a minute. The problem is primarily on the festival days. Let's have a look at the Rambam in number 5. Lefikach, yesh ledat. I want to introduce you to some things to know about pagan temples, says the Rambam. Shekol ir me'arei ha'uma ha'notzrit. Now he gets very explicit. Any city, which is a Christian city, sheyesh lahem ba bama, that has an idol, an altar in it, ritzoni lomar, what I mean by that is beit tefilatam. Any city that has a church, asher hu beit avodah zarah belo safek, he lays down his cards very clearly, Christianity is pagan, he says, leaf Catholicism, which was the Christianity, an Orthodox, Greek Orthodox at the time. Hare zeh ha'ir ein mutar la'avor ba bekavana. You may not walk through a town that has a church in it. You may not. The kosher came to Durba. You certainly can't live in a town that has a church in it. Aval Hashem, Masar Nubi Adayim, but what can we do? God has delivered us into their hands. Ad Shinadur Be'arehem Baal Krochenu. We have to live in the towns. We have no choice. The Christians make us live there. They won't let us live somewhere else. Lekayim Ya'adu Hara, and this fulfills the terrible prophecy that we had. Va'avaritim Shal Elohim Ma'aseh Yidei Adam Eitz Va'aven. We were told we're going to have to be close to Avodah Zarah now. We don't have to worship it, but we have to live in a town with a church. But if you don't have to, you mustn't. Ve'im Zehu Din Ha'ir, if that's true of the town, Kal V'chayme Ledin Beit Avodah Zarah Atzmo, it's certainly true of the church, Shekemat Asur Lahabit Bo. It's almost prohibited to even look at a church. You can't look at a church. V'kol shekein l'karev alav. You certainly can't go close to a church. V'kol shekein l'ikanes alav. And certainly you can't elav. You can't go into a church. So we'll see the Rambam's position is exceptionally clear. Completely off limits. There's nothing to talk about. Not even to save your life, maybe. We'll see next week if that's mutter. Because remember, there are the big three you can't do in to save your life. Do the big three include Maris Ayin? Meaning you're not actually going to go and worship anything, you're just doing something else. So we'll see that next week. But the Rambam is absolutely clear that this is a problem. And not just because of Avodah Zarah. Excuse me, my voice is still a bit scratchy. Believe it or not, it's actually getting better. But Baruch Hashem. If you look at number 6. Mishlei, Batabanim Shimuli. Listen carefully to me, says Mishlei. King Shlomo HaMelech, that's who wrote Mishlei. The Gemara says it was actually written later by the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. But not for now. Al tasuru mi'imrei, don't go away from what I'm telling you. Harchek mi'aleha darkecha, keep your path far away from her. Al tikrev el petach beta, don't get in close to her house. Who is the her? Who is the her? This is the evil woman of Mishlei, which is whatever's going to entice you into negative ways. Usually Eve is often called the zona, as opposed to the eshet chayil. That's why Eshet Chayil at the end of Mishlei is the good woman who will bring you into good places. It's a mashal. It's not really about women. It's about Torah. It's about Musar. It's about things that will bring you excuse me, closer to Hashem. Whereas the Isha Zonah is the woman you have to stay away from. If you look at the Malbim in number 7, Al Takrev Al Pesach Beita, Af She Zonah Einem Shah. Even if the Zonah is not actually there. Ulefi Hamelitza, what is the mashal? Rotzalomar shetitrachek midarche avoda zara umiminus. Stay far away from avoda zara, heresy, other religions. Va'af al tikrevla, don't even get close el ha'atzot v'ha'kishim sheba, to its suggestions and propositions. Shebam nichnasim el shari ha'kfir, because it'll get you in the wrong way. You start learning comparative religion, it'll start turning your mind into the wrong places. The light time, don't tell me she'ata tishdamish ve'akesham ha'ele livnot bam bayit ne'eman le'torah le'tudah. Don't tell me that it'll strengthen your Judaism by learning about other religions. It's not true. Mishlei is telling you, stay way, well, you know, far away. Now, of course, it depends on who you are. The Rambam paskens very clearly in the Mishnah Torah that you're not allowed to read any book of Avodah Zarah. And in the Morin Avochim, he says very proudly, I've read every single book of Avodah Zarah that's out there that I could get my hands on that was in Arabic. Obviously, you know, horses for courses. There are different people who have different halachas. Mishlei is saying that don't think you're the Rambam. You're not in a position to read that. And the Gemara actually rules, number 8, halachically, harachek me'aleh derechecha, based on this pasuk in Mishlei. Zominut, this is actually talking about heresy. V'kama, how far do you have to stay away? Amar Rav Chisda arba amos. You may not walk within 4 amos of a base of Avodah Zarah. And there are people who, if they on the pavement, on the sidewalk, and they walk past the church, they'll cross the road, go across the road, and they'll come back, and they won't walk within that long of the church. From here to here. On an average-sized grown man, from one aisle to the other, is Arab Amos. There is actually an interesting Gemara. If you look in number 9, Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yonasan have a ka'az liba'orcha. Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yonasan were walking on the road. Matulahan hutrei shvili. They got to a fork in the road. They had to decide which fork to go down. Now it's two bad choices. Chad patzi apitzcha da avoides kachavim. One went through a pagan temple. Vachad patzi apitzcha de beis zonus, and one thread past a brothel. So either way, they're going to have to pick one or the other. They have to walk there. So which are they going to pick? So amalechad lechavrei. So one said to the other, nezel apitzcha da avoides kachavim. Let's walk past the temple. Why? Denachis Yitzrei, because the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah has been taken away from us. The famous Gemara at the beginning of the Second Temple period, the Anshei Knesset Gedola, Davin for that Yetzer Hara. So, you know, we won't be enticed. We're not going to go in the church, as opposed to the brothel. Like, that's a very strong Yetzer Hara. Said the other one, Amalei Idach, his friend said to him, no, Nezel Apitcha de Bezonus. Let's go walk past the base of Zonot. V'nachmele Yitzran, and we'll keep hold of ourselves. Even though there's a Yetzahara, we'll survive. V'nukam alegra, and we'll get Tzhar. But anything rather than walking past the base of Avodah Zarah, what happened? Kimato Hasan, when they reached the base of Zonot, Chazinu, they saw l'zonot ichnal mikame. The Zonot went back into the houses because they were scared of the rabbis. Okay? They didn't want to mess with the rabbis. Maybe they looked scary. Maybe they had Rachmanis on them. Whatever it is. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch rules, in number 10, in the Shulchan Aruch, mitzvah l'Yisrach miderech avodas chasav, kachavim dalet amas. Fine, you can't walk within dalet amas of Avodah Zarah. But all this begs the question, is a church Avodah Zarah? Yes or no? If it's Avodah Zarah, then we have all these halachas. If it's not, then it's not. And are the people who worship Avodah Zarah really worshipping Avodah Zarah? Look at this source in number 11, which will introduce the next section. Says the Gemara in Cholin, Da'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Nachrim Sheva Chutz La'aretz Lav Ovdei Avodas Kachavim Hein. The non-Jews in Chutz La'aretz are not really Mahadrin Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Okay? Elaminag Avosein B'yadehim. They're just going through the motions. They don't really believe this stuff. In Eretz Yisrael, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah are the real deal, because everything is more intense in Eretz Yisrael. But the Ovdei Avodah Zarah in Chutz La'aretz, they're just going through the motions. Okay, fine. So we'll see how that plugs into the halacha. So let's go over to page 3. So what is Avodah Zarah? So there are 3 types of Avodah Zarah. It's worth clarifying this. So one type of Avodah Zarah is like a znut. So maybe have a look in, we'll start with number 12. Let's start with the Ten Commandments, because we just read them just before on Shavuot. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Otzeiticha Mi'eretz Mitzrayim, I am the God that took you out of Egypt, Mi'beit Avadim, Lo Yeh Lecha Elohim Acherim El Al Panai. You may not abandon me for other gods. Ki Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Kel Kana. I'm a demanding God. I demand your service. You are my avadim. You may not abandon me to go somewhere else. So one kind of avodah zarah is very straightforward. It is where we abandon God for something else, or even abandon the worship of God for some kind of syncretism with God and something else. Meaning, we'll get into an interesting question soon. What if people worship God, but they worship God plus God and his son, God and his wife? And in fact, we have seen dug up in the Sinai ancient inscriptions from the first temple period that say that these people were worshipping Lehashem, Yudke Vavke, the Asherato, and his female deity counterpart. So it could well be that, you know, we always think of Avodah Zarah that people either do this or they do that. But actually, many people wanted to hedge their bets, you know? They'll do this and a little bit of that. In fact, my son's master's thesis in Bar-Ilan is on syncretism in the first temple. So I've heard a lot of interesting things from him on this. It could be that Eliyahu Hanavi, when he says to the people in Har Carmel, how long are you going to be skipping between two sides? He's not saying God or the Baal, but how long are you going to insist on God and the Baal? Trying to have your cake and eat it, you can't do that. So that's also part of this prohibition. Number 13, there's a kind of a disloyalty as well. Pentichrot brit liyoshev haaretz v'zanu acharei Eloheihem. It's a znut. You've abandoned your husband and gone after other things. That's one kind of avodah zarah. But there's another kind of avodah zarah in number 14. V'nishmarti ma'od enafshateichim ki lo ra'itim kol tzmuna. You didn't see any image at Sinai. B'yom diber Hashem aleichem b'chorev mitoch ha'esh. Pen tashchitun. Because you might do a hashchata. You might corrupt your service of God. V'asitim lechem pesel. And you'll end up making idols. Tumarat kol semel tavnit zachar on nekeva. What is that? That is where you worship God, but in a corrupted way, which itself has two forms. Either you worship God, but you have a completely incorrect understanding of God. You think that God has a body. You're absolutely committed to worshiping God, but you're worshiping a being with a physical form. That's avodah zarah. Or you worship God, but you feel intimidated by worshiping God, so you worship God through an intermediary. I can't get to God directly, I'll go through this one to get to this one. They're all kinds of avodah zarah. In fact, the Rambam actually says it's worse to have a corrupted understanding of God and directly than to go through an intermediary and have a correct understanding of God. They're both avodah zarah. They're both bad. But one is even worse than the other. So these are all types of avodah zarah. Okay, so what about Christianity? Does Christianity do any of these things? Does it combine God with other beings? Does it go to God through other beings? Does it believe that God has a body? Pashtus, all of these things, to some degree, but it may depend on the kind of Christianity. Let's see. Let's look at the Gemara. Now, we're going to have to do a little bit of digging here, because the Gemaras that we have on our shelves have all been censored by the church. We're going to have to get the non-censored version of many of these Svarim, which is going to be quite exciting. Have a look with me in number 50. Tashma says the Gemara. Rabbi Yishmael Omer. And here's the point you were making before about the festivals. The first Mishnah in Avodah Zarah says that you may not do business with a Christian, with a pagan, on their festival days. Because what's the problem? We're worried that you're going to facilitate their Avodah Zarah. You're going to sell them a sheep, and they're going to use it for Avodah Zarah, and you'll be responsible in some way. Maybe it's Lifnei Iver. Maybe they'll thank their God for having done a deal with a Jew. Says Rabbi Yishmael, Shlosha Lifneihem, V'shlosha l'achreihem asur. It's 3 days before and it's 3 days after. Okay? You can't do any dealings with them. Tashma, and the Gemara goes on to say, Amar Rab Tachlifa bar Avdimi, Amar Shmuel, a statement in the name of Shmuel. Now, where did Shmuel live? Shmuel lived in Bava. They were not Christian in Bava. They were Zoroastrian at the time. They used to be pre-Islam. But he came from Eretz Israel. And in Eretz Israel, there were Christians. But the Romans were not yet Christian as a state. They were pagan still, but they were Christians around. So what does Shmuel say? Yom Aleph, Sunday, Ledivrei Rabbi Shmuel Olam Asur. Sunday is always Asur. And by the way, if it's Asr on Sunday and 3 days before and 3 days afterwards, then you're going to have a bit of trouble doing anything at all. But that's not the original Gemara. Look at number 16. Tashma. Da'amar Rav Tichla b'tachlifa b'Rav Dimi amashmul. Here's the original Gemara. Yom Notzri. The Nazarite day. L'divri Rav Shmuel l'olam Asr. Now what's Yom Notzri? Rashi. Again, sends it out of our Gemaras. Number 17. Notzri. Ha'holech b'ta'ut shel oto ha'ish. Those people who follow the mistakes of that man, shitziva lahem la'asot yom eid, and he commanded them to make a festival day, be'alef b'Shabbos, on Sunday. Now, that's of course not historically correct. That Jesus never turned around and said that you have to have a festival day on a Sunday. That came quite a bit later. So it could be that, I don't know if even Osa HaIsh was referring to Paul. I don't think so. Osa HaIsh always refers to Jesus. Most poskim say that you can say the word Jesus. Otherwise, if you lived in Mexico, you'd have a problem because every other guy in Mexico is called Jesus. But it's just a name. And actually, there were thousands of people in the Second Temple period called Yeshu. Or Yeshua. It was a very, very popular name. Ben Sira is also called that, etc. So what's Rashi talking about here? Osa Ha'ish, by the way, just as an anecdote, when I was at Oxford many years ago, so there was a bit of a craze that, of course, people always have their college name on their sweatshirt, you know, very loyal. So the guys had knitted kippot with their names of their colleges on, like Brasenose and Pembroke and all that kind of stuff. So the guys who were in Jesus College, Oxford, didn't feel it was entirely appropriate to go to shul wearing Jesus on kippah. So they had Oso Ha'ish written on their kippah. And Hamei Vin Yavin. Okay, fine. That was just something I remember from Oxford. So Yom Notzri, it sounds pretty cut and dry. It sounds like the Nazarites are Ovdei Avodah Zarah. It sounds like they're from the Gemara. And that's taka how the Rambam paskens. Let's look at a few Rambams. The Rambam is very straightforward. Look at 18 and 19. 18 says the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos, Veda. Shezohu Uma HaNotzrit. The Nazarite, the Christian community. HaTohanim, Tanas HaMashiach. They claim that Jesus was the Messiah. L'chol Shinuyei Kitotehem. And I don't care what kind of Christianity it is. Now the Rambam's writing in the 1100s. Catholicism, and Greek Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, not Russian Orthodox. Catholicism, Russian, and Greek Orthodox. He doesn't say anything about Protestantism because there was no Protestantism. Would he have said the same thing? So if the problem is the Trinity, then it's a problem for Protestantism. They also believe in the Trinity. If the problem is corporeality of God, then it's also a problem for Protestantism, unless you end up with a Unitarian church that doesn't believe that Jesus was actually part of God. In which case, okay, fine. But I'm sure you'll find them in America, but Westminster Abbey is not there, that's for sure. Ve'egehen, and their holidays, the end of the first line of 18, kulam asurim, they're all prohibited to do business. Ve'noagim emahem b'chol ha'tarek der shenoagim im ovdei avodah zarah. You have to treat Christians like you would treat ovdei avodah zarah. Yom Rishon and a Sunday, who michlal eidei hem shel goyim, is included in their holidays. Lefikach asur lehitasek im ma'amine hamashiach beyom Rishon klal b'shum davar min advarim. You may not go to a Christian shop on a Sunday. Now, luckily, most of the Christian shops are closed on a Sunday, which actually saves us from doing this aveira. But now, not anymore. But are they Christian anymore? That's the question. Meaning it's kind of whichever way you look at it. If it's Christian, it's closed, and if it's not, if it's open, it's probably not Christian. Okay? Ela noigim imahem b'yom rishon kederesh noigim im ovdei avodah zarah b'yom eidah. Fine. Now, it's interesting. The Rambam lived in Muslim countries all of his life.
Right.
There is a very interesting question on the Rambam's biography when he escaped from Andalusia because of the Almohad invasion, that the Almohads came in and they were wiping out Jewish communities. They were brought in to wipe out the Christians, but as they were going, they wiped out the Jews. Most people fled north to northern Spain, which was Christian, or north east to Provence. The Rambam did not. He went to Morocco, which was the very heart of the Almohad kingdom. And there's always a question, why did he go to Morocco? You're going from the frying pan into the fire. to the point that there's even an academic discussion as to whether the Rambam was forced to convert to Islam on the surface, etc. Yes, no, that's not getting into that now. One of the reasons suggested is because he would not go to a Christian country. He would not go to a town in which there was a church. And that was the less bad option of the two. We also asked, why did he leave Eretz Yisrael? He left Eretz Yisrael to go to Cairo, because Eretz Yisrael was Christian. So that may be part of the whole cheshbon. But the Rambam is very clear. And again, in the uncensored Rambam in number 19 in the Mishnah Torah, he says, V'chein kol goy she'eino oved avodah zarah, k'goin eino yishma'ilim. If you're dealing with Muslims who do not have idolatry, yeinam asur, you can't drink their wine, asur b'shkia, umutar b'hanaya. If you want to drink the wine of Muslims, you may not. But if you want to deal in it, you can sell it, you can buy it. V'chein horu kol ha'goyim. That's a stand-up sack, he says. Aval ha'noitzrim, the Christians, they are Ode Avodah Zarah, for Stam Yenam Osa Bahanaya. And their Stam Yayin, even if you don't know that it's consecrated for communion, you're not allowed to sell it, buy it, touch it, etc. Is this still true today? According to most poskim, not. Stam Yenam now, of wine made in the secular world, it's not Avodah Zorah wine. It's not designated for Avodah Zorah. It's never going to be designated. Obviously, communion wine is. But the Stam wine is not. And therefore, most poskim rule today that you can't drink it. That's a separate prohibition against intermarriage. That's true also with, you know, the Muslims as well. You can't drink their alcohol. I mean, they shouldn't really be drinking it either. But okay. Let's not everyone's as frum as everyone else. When I was a junior, a lot of law stories coming up today. I was given a crate by a client of exceptionally expensive champagne. Because I found a little loophole in the contract, got him $500,000 more than he thought he would. He bought me this $4,000 or $5,000 crate of champagne. I asked the Shiler, it's actually one of the Dayanim in London, and he said, you can sell it. So I sold it for whiskey, I swapped it, da-da-da-da. But these days, Stam Yayin is not considered Christian because they're not Christians as such. But in principle, he said Christianity is a Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, flip over to page 4, the Rambam also censored, you won't find this in your standard Rambam, when he talks about Christianity and he tells you that Jesus cannot possibly have been the Mashiach, because he didn't do any of the things that the Mashiach is meant to do, the opposite. He says, "Aval machshavat boyre olam ein kach ba'adam lahasigen." We don't understand the ways of God's mind. Ki lo darcheinu derachav, v'lo machshvateinu machshvatav. Our ways and our thoughts are not like his. V'kol ha'dvarim ha'elu shel Yeshu ha'notzri, and all the things that have happened with Jesus of Nazareth, v'shel zeh ha'yishma'eli. And interesting, Yeshu ha'notzri, he gives him a name. But Muhammad, he won't call him his name. Isn't that strange? Interesting. Zeh Yishma'eli. He won't call him Muhammad. Okay? Sha'amad Acharav, who came after him. Einam ela liyasha derech lemelech HaMashiach. Christianity and Islam are there to pave the way for Yemos HaMashiach. Uletaken es ha'olam. They're to fix the world kulo. Ulaavod et Hashem b'yachad. So that everyone can serve God together. Shleimari brings a posek, and then he says, Ketzad. The world is now full of people who talk about Mashiach, Torah, and mitzvahs. Before, nobody talked about those things, but Christianity and Islam has put them on everybody's agenda. Interesting. Again, the Christians censored this out. They didn't like this at all. And this is not a source for interfaith work. Some people quote this Rambam and say, you see, the Rambam would have sat down with the interfaith dialogue. No, it's not what he's saying. He's saying that that the Christianity and Islam serve a purpose in bringing the world closer to Mashiach. Now, what the Rambam does say, interestingly, is if you're going to have to debate Tanakh, debate it with Christians. Don't debate it with Muslims. He says that even though Christianity is for sure Avodah Zarah, according to him, at least they take the Tanakh seriously. They believe in the Tanakh. It's the Jewish Bible. They have the New Testament, but they believe in the Old Testament. Whereas the Muslims do not believe in the Old Testament. And every time you find anything that goes against anything they think, they'll just say, the Jews put it there. It's a conspiracy theory. The Jews forged it. Which is the Shita that they hold. That really Ishmael was the Akedah. And every single Tanakh in existence for the thousands of years before Islam came about had all been tampered with by the Jewish community. That's why you can never debate. He says there's no point. You can daven in the mosque. You can daven Shacharis with them in the mosque. It's not a base of Avodah Zarah, but don't bother debating Tanakh, because you can't win. It's the same with archaeology. You know, whatever we can pull out of the ground in the old city, say, look, this is exactly what it says in the Mishnah. It's all forged. There's no Jewish connection with Har HaBayit. There's no Jewish connection with Yerushalayim. You can't argue with it, because it's just like, you know, it's all a conspiracy theory. So that's why the Rambam says, interestingly, not much has changed on that one. Okay, so that's the Rambam's position. It's very clear. However, there's a problem. The Gemara says you can't go into business with Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Why not? Because if you go into partnership or business with someone, the Gemara assumes that you'll fall out and you'll end up in court. And then they'll have to make an oath that they're right, and they will end up swearing on their Avodah Zarah, and you can't be responsible for that. So no problem with Muslims, because whatever they swear on, they swear on the Quran, no problem. But you can't do that with Christians. So that's easy for people who are living in Morocco, but it's not so easy for people who are living in France. Are they never going to do business partnerships in wine, whatever it is? So let's have a look in number 21. Tosfos famously say, we do enter into business partnerships with Christians. How? Number 21. Meaning, first of all, he quotes that Gemara. They don't really mean it. They go to church, but they're not that frum. I mean, that was in the Middle Ages. He said they don't mean it. What would he say now? Will be high time of Sharia, therefore it's mutter. They're not real Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So that's his first volley. And then in Tosfos in 22, he says, I've got another reason. Mikol makom bizman hazeh, these days, says Tosfos, kulan nishba'im bekadoshim shalahem. What do they swear? They swear by their saints. Okay? They ain't tofsim bahem elohut, but they don't think that their saints are God. So that's not a problem. They say Saint George, Saint this, Saint that. They're not God, even according to them. The AFLP, Shemashim Azkirim Imahem Shem Shamayim, but even though they put their saint's name with God, and I brought you a quote from Shakespeare at the bottom, cry God for Harry, England, and Saint George. See, today's share has censored Gemaras and quotes from Shakespeare. It doesn't come better than that, right? Okay, fine. So he says, even though they put God's name with it, and they're thinking about whatever they're thinking about, that's not Avodah Zarah. When the Christians say God, they mean God. They mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, that's okay as well. The AFLP, but what about the Son and the Holy Ghost? The AFLP shemishtatvim shem shamayim v'davar achad, even though they say God and they put God together with other aspects of partners with God, that's called shituf. Very important word, shituf. Lo yashkachan da'osa ligrov la'acherim l'shatef. We never saw that it was prohibited to cause a non-Jew to make an oath. Remember, this is the business question. I'm going to go end up in court causing a non-Jew to make an oath when what they're swearing on is God plus something else. Now, for you as a Jew, that will be completely prohibited. No question. You can't combine God with anything else. But for them, is that prohibited for them? The lifnei iver leker, it's not lifnei iver. You are not causing them to stumble because they're allowed to do that. Dibnei noach lo husru al kach. And it sounds from Tosfos to Sisi saying that non-Jews are not prohibited in shituf. Now, if that's true, it might mean that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah for non-Jews. It would be Avodah Zarah for Jews, but maybe according to Tosfos, it's not Avodah Zarah for non-Jews. Now, he's not talking here about going in the church. He's talking here about entering into partnership with a non-Jew, where it might happen that you're going to cause them to make an oath and they're going to swear in the name of the Trinity. He says, that's okay. Now, the Shulchan Aruch brings down the Rambam, and then the Yesh Omrim, like Tosfos. Okay, look here in number 23. Yesh Omrim She'ein Kol Dvarim Elo Omrim Ela Ba'Oysa Zman. Maybe all this pagan stuff is for the old-fashioned pagans. Aval Bizman Hazeh Einam Ovdei Avodah Kachavim. Maybe they're not really pagans today. L'fikach Mutzel Aseitu L'Teiti Mahem. Again, you can do business with them. B'Yom Chagam, even on their festival days, will have that time called Shar Dvarim, or all these other business dealings. But that's a Yesh Omrim. That's not his preferred opinion. However, the Ramah in Poland says no. That's how we paskin. Look at what he says in 24. The issue of Hada Asalim Kolahem Dvarim Hashaychim Leolavadasam, Hainu Davke Im Ein Lahem Acherim Kiyotzebehem. He's talking about selling crucifixes to the Christians. It's good business. Okay? It's a kind of tradition, it's a masorah that all the Italian stores around the Vatican that sell all the stuff, all like generations of Jews selling all that stuff, okay? Or shelo yuchlo liknot b'makom acher. But look, the Christians can always buy it for some, from someone else, so it's not technically lifnei iver because they could get it somewhere else. Aval im yuchalim liknot b'makom acher. If they can buy it from somewhere else, mutzalim kol lehen kol davar, you can do what you like. V'yesh machmirim, there are those who are machmir, true. V'nagu lahakal kasvar rishon. But we, in Ashkenaz, we're lenient. We do business with them. We even sell them their stuff. V'kol bal nefesh yachmir, that's more. And if you want to be machmir for yourself. But the main psak is to be mekel. And so too, in number 25, he says the magic words, like Tosfos, the Ramah, Paskins. If you look on the second line, I've bolded it and underlined it. Dehari einam muzharim al hashituf. They are not prohibited to do shituf. They can have a trinity. It's not avodah zarah for them. Now, according to this, it sounds like Christianity is not avodah zarah for non-Jews. So if their church is not a place of avodah zarah, so maybe you can go in it because it's not a place of avodah. It would be if you worship there. But for them, it might be mutter. However, it's not so simple. Because a number of poskim, and I've brought them here in 27 and 28 and 29, say, hang on a minute. You're overreaching here. All that this is allowing is permission to do business with non-Jews. Again, what's your shaila here? If I end up in court and I cause them to make an oath, am I responsible? Okay, ad can. That far you're not responsible. But we're not telling you that it's completely not avodah zarah. It is avodah zarah. And the Nodi B'Yehuda quoted in the Piskei Tshuva, I brought you both, the Piskei Tshuva in 27, the Nodi B'Yehuda in 28. He says, I didn't find anywhere, any source that says full on that non-Jews are allowed to do shituf. So I didn't find any Gemara that says that. People say it, yes, but I said, I don't find any source. All the sources say is you can go into business with them. Didn't say they're allowed to do it. And in fact, in the Orach HaShulchan, just a quick one-liner, number 20 line, he says, V'loy matzinu sheyesh bazeh mishum lifnei iver. He's talking about business dealings. There's no lifnei iver, lo titen michshol, sheharei einam muzharim ala shituf legabe hashvua. For the shvua, for the oath, you don't have to worry. But in terms of the avodah zarah, maybe it's avodah zarah. So Tosfos is not clear. The Rambam is clear. It is avodah zarah. Tosfos could go in either direction. And I brought you, because it's just after Shavuos, a pasuk from Megillat Rut, which sounds as though maybe they're not obligated in Shituf. They're not prohibited in that. Look in Megillat Rut in number 13. The Tomar Rut, famous pasuk, Rut says to Naomi, Al tifki bi la'azveich. Don't force me to abandon you. Don't force me to leave you. Wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you sleep, I'll sleep. Your gods are my gods. So there's a famous midrash, which is brought by the Torah Tamim in number 31. So Naomi's trying to put her off. You don't want to be Jewish, really. It's you want to go back and be a Moabite. She's trying to put it off. She says to her, "Asur lan avodat kachavim." We're not allowed to do avodah zarah. You sure you want to be Jewish? Amra, and therefore she answers, "Elohaych Elohai, your gods are my gods." Now, one second. Hey, that's a good question. Okay, that's a good question. We've got Elohim, maybe because it's plural. Interesting. But what do you mean? If you become a Jew, you're not allowed to do avodah zarah. As a non-Jew, you're not allowed to do avodah zarah. What's she telling her? What's going on here? If you become Jewish, it's prohibited to do avodah zarah. It's already prohibited. So the Marasha says it could be that she's making this extra step. When you're a non-Jew, you're not allowed to do avodah zarah, but you are allowed to do shituf. You're allowed to have a trinity. But if you become Jewish, you've got to let go of that as well. So again, that's maybe a position that seems to indicate that non-Jews are allowed to do shituf. Okay, so that's Tosfos. However, yes, sir.
What's the position if you're doing business with a business, with an entity?
Ah, with a corporation.
The man who you speak to or you discuss with.
Good. That's actually an excellent point. Today, when we do business with corporations, you're going to have to work out what is the status of a corporation or a company in halacha. Is it a partnership of the major shareholders or people who have control of the company? Or is it a completely abstract, independent legal entity? Certainly, if it's an independent legal entity, as it is in English law, but if it is in halacha, it's not an oved avodah zarah. That's for sure. And therefore, you're completely right. This is a very important caveat. Most of this would not apply
in modern. Anybody who represents the company.
Right, right.
I.e., let's even say the manager of in the shop.
Right.
You don't have to.
I'm not a Pesek and I'm not a Dayan, but I'm very confident you'll get a Heter to do business with them. Although it must be said, there was an interesting case came up in London. There was a Jew who got a contract to do the marble flooring for the Hindu temple that they built near Wembley. So is that allowed? That's maybe a little bit different from just doing business. You're actually building the Hindu temple. We'll get to that next week. I remember when I was young, people used to do weddings. They used to hire out halls. There weren't so many Jewish halls. So we used to go to the Padua Patidar Center in Kenton or something like that. I'm going back 30 years. And all the frummest of the frummest weddings were there. Until one day, somebody decided to look up. And the whole ceiling was surrounded by statues, by like Hindu statues or whatever. Now, is that a problem or is that not a problem? You know, they weren't worshipping them, but they were having the chuppah there. We'll get to that next week, Be'ezrat Hashem. But you need to see them eerie, yes?
Can a Jew, a from Jew, especially of McDonald's stock?
Okay, that's different. That, yes. Yes, because you're allowed to make money out of non-Jewish food, or non-kosher food. It's not a prohibition to make money out of that. You're not allowed to raise pigs in a pig farm, but that's a different story. Okay, let's look at the Me'iri, because the Me'iri is the Chidush. Who was the Me'iri? Let's first ask who he was. Rav Menachem Me'iri lived in Provence in the 1300s. And therefore he was part of this community that was not Sephardi, but it was not Ashkenazi either. It was a kind of bridge community. There were some very famous Rishonim that came from there. The whole Kimchi family came from there. They were originally from Spain, and they went to Provence. The Baal HaMa'or came from there. The Rivad, famously, came from there. And the Me'iri also came from there. Now, we knew of the existence of the Me'iri all the way through, but most of the Me'iri's works were only discovered in the 20th century. Many of them in the Vatican. And therefore, interesting, the Me'iri doesn't form part of the halachic discussion back and forth in the Rishonim and the Achronim, because he made a late appearance, just because he was discovered. Now, there's no question about the authenticity of the manuscripts, but that just wasn't part of the process. So how big a piece does the Me'iri have? He is a Rishon, but he's a Rishon that was discovered only 100 years ago. So we'll talk about that again next week a little bit. But have a look at, first of all, what the Me'iri says. The Me'iri has a very radical position, and it seems pretty clear. Says the Me'iri, "Umitoch kach," because of this, "Ika hadvarim nirali," it seems to me very clear, he says, "Shedvarim elu kulam," all these things that we say about Avodah Zorah, "kulam lo nemru ela al ovdi ha'alilim v'tzurasehem v'tzalmehem." It was talking about pagans. "Aval bizmanim halalu," today, in our world, and he's living in Catholic France, "muta legamre," it's completely permitted. There's not even a hint of Avodah Zorah. "Umashe amru b'gemara noitzri," what do you do with this gemara? He had, you know, the uncensored gemara. It said yom noitzri. It sounds like Christianity is Avodah Zorah. He says no. "La'ola," when it says yom noitzri la'ola ma'asa, that the noitzri day is asa. "Ani mefarsho miloshen noitzrim by me'eretz merachak." Pasukim Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu talks about the Noitzrim. Now, he's not talking about Christians, because it was 600 years before. So who are they? "Ha'omu b'Yirmiyah shikara Elohim ha'am Noitzrim al-shem Nebuchadnezzar." It's a pagan Babylonian cult. "V'yadu'a," everyone knows, he says, "shetzelem ha'shemesh haya b'Bavel." They worship the sun. That's why it's called Sunday. Sunday, because of these Babylonians. It's got nothing to do with the Christians. Nothing to do with the Nazareth. That's what the Nebuchadnezzar's people worshipped. And Sunday is the day that we people can connect with the sun. The head of the days. That's why they call it Yom Notri. Al Shem Shehaya Kavul, Nebuchadnezzar, Al Sad Memsheret Chamashebo. He says it's absolutely clear. Sunday has got nothing to do with the Christians. Meaning, yes, the Christians do stuff on Sundays, but what the Gemara said about Sunday is nothing to do with the Christians. It's the Babylonians. Similarly, he says here in number 33, Harbe Ra'inu, we've seen many times, Shenitpalim al Shebizmanim, people express surprise, al Shebizmanim Elu, Ein Adam Nisha Mitvarim Elu Klal. Why are people not careful these days about doing business with Christians? He says, the Anu Kfar Bi'aron, because I've told you already, Ika Kavanas Hasefa al Ezu Uma, he sovevet Kamoshe Ya'idu Yemei Edehem, when the Gemara talks about pagan festivals, Shez Karnu Shehem Kulam Le'umas HaKadamut. It's for the ancient world. Shelo hayu gedurot bedarchei hadatot. They didn't have a system of religious values. They were pagans. They ran around murdering people, having sexual orgies, all sorts of things. We don't live with those people today. We live with people today who are principled, ethical, religious people. Back in the day, they were addicted to paganism. The kochavim, the hatalisman. They were superstitious. People are not superstitious today, right? Okay. Christianity is not avodah zarah. Now, he's talking about 100 years after the Crusades. You're not exactly dealing with, you know, a bunch of people who want to sit on the floor, hold hands, and sing kumbaya. You know, you're dealing with people who've just been rampaging through Europe, killing Jews. He says, nevertheless, they're not over the avodah zarah.
A little grappling. I mean, if you can't say in a strong way the pagans, etc., avodah zarah, then why would the Jews have to stay being Jewish? In other words, you're accepting that.
Good. So that's look. Next source. It addresses your question. You'll see right now that whenever we're dealing with people who have a clear religious value system. Okay, and they worship God in some way. He says, now here's your question. Even though their faith and our faith are radically different, you can't do what they do. We still have to be Jewish. You can't become a Christian, even though our faiths are miles apart. But they're not included in pagans. They're just not. And then he says a radical thing. Alahari Hempi Israel Gamur. They completely like Jews, Ledvarim Haido, for all of these financial issues. Af Ba'aveda, even if you lose lost property, or someone loses lost property, the Af Bata'us, or makes a mistake, the Kol Shar Dvarim below Shum Chiluf. There's now no longer any difference between Jews and non-Jews. What's he referring to? So if you go to a shop, and you hand them, I don't know, $20, and they give you change by mistake for $50, and they're giving you a load of money back. So now you're holding money, which is a Hashavas Aveda, obligation to give back. So if it's a Jewish shop, you have a Torah obligation to give it back. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, if it's a non-Jewish shop, there's a Kiddush Hashem to give it back, and there's an obligation, if it'll be a Chilul Hashem, if they're going to come running after you saying, oi, we gave you the wrong change and you're an Orthodox Jew and you just walked away with it, that's prohibited. But if there's no Chilul Hashem and there's no Kiddush Hashem, then there's no obligation to give it back. Because it's Hashavas Aveda applies in different ways. I had an example. I was on the subway once and I put in a pound coin to get a bar of chocolate. And out came 2 bars of chocolate. By mistake. So now I have a shaila. Do I have an obligation, Hashavas Aveda, to give back the extra bar of chocolate? So if it was a Jewish company, so I'd have to call them up and say, you know, I've got an extra bar. Of course they wouldn't care. They'd say, just keep it, you know, eat it, give it to a friend. But if it's a non-Jewish company, mi'ika hadin, I don't have any obligation. There's no chilul Hashem there. There'll be no Kiddush Hashem driving them crazy and saying, I've got your bar of chocolate. They'll just, you know, just a nutnik. So I don't have to give it back. Says the Me'iri, today there's no difference anymore. And this is not Paskin like this in Shulchan Aruch. There's no difference. Jews and non-Jews are exactly the same. If you have to give it back to a Jew, you have to give it back to a non-Jew. What's your question?
Did it have a hechsher?
Did it have a hechsher? Talk about that afterwards. Okay, fine. There's a famous case, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that when he was still in Russia, so somebody came to him and said that the postmaster had given him the wrong change. What should they do? Now, Me'ikadin, postmaster's not Jewish. You'd say, well, I don't have to give it back. It's their mistake. I don't have an obligation of a Shavuot Aveda. He said, give it back. Give it back. And there started to be a repeat. More and more people kept coming to Rav Yaakov and saying, the postmaster's giving him the wrong change. And then he made a rule. Everybody has to give all the change back. And later on, the postmaster revealed he'd been testing everybody in the town to see who's honest and who's not. And the Jews were all honest. They all gave back the money. And the non-Jews were not. Okay, fine. So you never know when there's going to be a Kiddush Hashem. So you have to give it back. But the Me'iri is very radical. Do we paskin like the Me'iri? So Rav Kook says an interesting thing. Look at number 35. Says Rav Kook, She'ika hu kedasa Me'iri. Rav Kook says, yes, really we follow the Me'iri. She'kol amin shehem gedurim benimusim hegunim. All people that are ruled in their lives by civilized behavior. Bein Adam lechaveru, in terms of their interpersonal relationships, hen kvar nechshavim leger toshav, gerim toshavim. Now this is in Israel. In Israel, says Rav Kook, you can have a status of a ger toshav. He says, so a non-Jew who is a Christian in this country is a ger toshav. But kol chivu ha'adam, amnum gam im nema kapashtam shapaskim achirim. Even though most poskim don't follow this. There was a very interesting shaila that Rav Kook didn't have, but Rav Herzog had. When the state of Israel was declared, Rav Kook died 13 years before the state. But Rav Herzog, who took over from him as chief rabbi, had the shaila. Now that the Jews were in control, are they allowed to have churches in Eretz Yisrael? Now, when they had no control, there's nothing to talk about. But now they had control, what's going to be? And he has a very long tshuva where he comes to the conclusion, you won't be surprised to hear, that it is permitted to maintain churches, even though they're churches. And this is part of the conversation. I was once in a shir with a very senior Talmud Chacham. I won't mention his name. And he was teaching these halachic issues. And he didn't mention the Me'iri. So I put up my hand and I said, what about the Me'iri? So he looked at me and said, we don't paskin like the Me'iri. Okay, so I said to him, what, nobody paskins like the Me'iri? And he smiled at me and said, only British chief rabbis paskin like the Me'iri. Okay? Right. Which we'll get to next time. So what have we learned so far? Let's just kind of summarize, and then next time we'll look at all of the controversial modern stuff, which is that Avodah Zarah, clearly you have an obligation to stay away from. Is Christianity Avodah Zarah? The Rambam? Yes. No question, definitely. Even Protestantism? Probably. Okay? The Me'iri? No, it's not Avodah Zarah. Now, again, the Me'iri is not explicitly saying you can go into a church. But it's hard to know why he would have a problem with someone going into a church when he says very clearly that there's no hint of Avodah Zarah with what's going on. He says, you can't worship in a church. For sure he'd say that. For you, it would be prohibited. Tosfos, depends how you read it. There's a more expansive reading that it's not Avodah Zarah, and there's a less expansive reading that it is. Yes?
Well, I could, England, I dabbled in the prayer room.
Oh, yes.
In Luton Airport.
Yes. You won't see a Christian in one of those rooms. You'll see a lot of Muslims davening there.
Right. There was nothing there on the walls that was purely Christian.
Right.
No crosses, no. Okay. But and there were rugs, and there were siddurim, and there were Quran.
Sure.
And there were.
Yeah, yeah. I've davened in those rooms with like Muslims, and you know that's. But I've never yet seen a Christian person davening there. Yes. Yeah, crosses on the wall. Yeah, we'll get to all of that. Be'ezrat Hashem next week. Between now and then, you can listen to Chief Rabbi Mervis's interview on Behind the Bima and see what he says. Yes?
I had a very nice drive. We took him to the hospital on the day of Moabit. So I asked if I could call the company, the taxi company, to compliment him.
Yes.
My Khomeini son said you're not allowed to compliment him.
Okay, that's a different question. That's lots of chanaim, that's a different mitzvah, whatever. No, that won't come up next week, but we can have another shir on it. Okay, we'll leave it for there.